America, please include me. Help the ones that are weak. All they want is a piece of the pie that you keep. Is that too much to ask for those that laid the concrete? Still laying on concrete, pop, pop by police. See, they the foundation of the nation, not the 2%. Not the ones that own the building that the middle class rent, because they make sense. Tell me, how do you feel? I'm the new Franklin and I have the new deal. I fight and do right, FDR for real. One nation under God, God show us the way. The science of opinion, God is not a buffet. You pick what you want, so no God on your plate. The preacher isn't God, religion's first mistake. Servants, stewards, shepherds, not kings. Has to die to his flesh every day like me. One VIP, all the other seats in church are free. We're just groupies, God's the celebrity. Before 313 AD, before Constantine, before the Council of Nicaea, before Romans and Greeks, before Calvin, Alexander, Luther, before let there be, before history, to the last century, before the death on the tree, before the fall of man, was a picture of me. Nailed to his heart right before the last three words he would speak, it is finished. Can you believe? I'm losing my religion. Thank God, helping you lose yours is my job.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
Greater St. Mary Missionary Baptist Church, and he was worse than what I am. Luke chapter 22. How many of y'all in here truly, and I mean it, don't fool me, how many of you all in here truly spend time in prayer with the Lord? We're gonna learn something today. I know normally on this Sunday people preach about Palm Sunday and Jesus making his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, but I want to talk about something else today. I want to talk about prayer. I mentioned Friday night in that sermon that I preached that prayer is important to the believer. And I'm going to try to show you how important it really is. Luke chapter 22. Verses 39-46. And he came out and went as he walked. In other words, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone cast, praise God, away. And he kneeled down and he prayed, saying, Father, willing. Remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, as his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I want y'all to get something out of this. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. In other words, they were tired. They were exhausted. And they fell asleep. And he said unto them, why ye sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. You may be seated. I'm going to unpeel that for you. Because if you just look at those words on the surface, when it talks about pray that you don't be tempted, what he really means is don't you yield to temptation. So I just want to talk this morning about facing temptation. You see, our text finds us at the very night before Jesus is crucified. He has had his last supper with his disciples. He has informed them that one of them would betray him. Praise God. And he had also informed Peter that before this day that you would deny me three times. He'd already done that. Then our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is about to face the greatest temptation, the greatest trial of his life. Jesus had faced many temptations. There's some that were recorded that are vividly in your mind. You go back to the fourth chapter of Matthew. You know that he was tempted in the wilderness after he had fasted some 40 days and 40 nights. But he faced other temptations throughout his life. But the greatest temptation he faced came on the night that he was betrayed and arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. You see, before him was a cup. It was the cup of God's will. And this cup was a cup of suffering. It was a cup of separation. It was a cup of salvation. You see, in this life, we too are faced with temptations, and we will continue to be faced with temptations. It is not the question of if we will if we will not be faced with temptations, because they are going to come. Oh, you can just take that word temptation and then and put the word trial in there. Put the word suffering in there. How many of y'all have already gone through some temptations? How many of y'all have already gone through some trials in this life? Praise God. Sister Jenkins raised both hands back there. Praise God. I could raise two hands, but I got the mic with one. Amen. I've been through some temptations. I've been through some trials in this life. But it's not the question, praise God, of how we're going to face temptations. But the question is how we are going to handle temptations when they come. Because they're coming. And let me just say this to the folk in here who have never had a temptation, never had a trial. All I want you to do is keep on living. Keep getting up in the morning. Praise God. And sooner or later, a temptation is going to hit you. A trial is going to come. How many of y'all got kids in here? How many of y'all got husbands? How many of y'all got wives? How many of y'all got relatives in here? Just keep getting up in the morning. Sooner or later, those temptations are going to come. And if we discover how Jesus handles this, his greatest temptation, his greatest trial, praise God, it will give us a great idea of how we can face them when they come. Because we know one thing for sure. Jesus was what? He was victorious when he faced his trial. And knowing that if we employ the same means and the methods, we too can be victorious when facing those temptations. Oh, I know we can. Hebrew writer tells us, put this on the marquee, Hebrew chapter 4, verse 15. Says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted just like we are. Praise God. Yet without sin. What that tells me is that the same Savior that we serve today, he too was tempted on every hand. And guess what? Praise God, he did not sin. So how did Jesus handle this, his greatest temptation? Praise God. Can I tell you the first thing that he did? Praise God, the first thing he did was that he seeked out a place to pray. It's in the text. He seeked out a place where he can pray. You see, Jesus went to his usual place of seclusion. That was the Mount of Olives. And at the base of the Mount of Olives was a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. And he went there. As he went there before, he went on his time. In other words, he did not hide. He did not try to cover up. As he had prayed, where he had prayed before was the place that he seeked out so that he can go and talk to the Father. Can I ask a question in here today? How many of y'all got a place that you can go? It might be in your house. It may be a room in your house. It might be setting out your car. Praise God. So that when trials come, you can't sit in the house because others may be in there. Praise God, making all kinds of noise, but you can go and seek somewhere where you can be quiet and you can be alone with the Lord. You can talk to him, and guess what? He can talk back to you. Praise God. So Jesus went to the Mount of Olives like he's always been. He wasn't trying to hide anything because he already knew what Judas was going to do. So he wasn't going to try to escape, praise God, what laid before him. He went to that same place. And the only difference, the scripture tells us that he used to sneak off to the Mount of Olives on himself. Praise God. Go down in the Garden of Gethsemane so that he can take some time to seek God. But the only thing that he did this time was that he took his disciples with him. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. That's a reason why he took those disciples with him. Like I said, each of us ought to have a place where we can go. That when we are troubled, when there is a hard decision that we got to make, we got a child who is going through some stuff. We are getting ready to go through some stuff. They're about to foreclose on your house. They're about to repossess your car. But that ought to be a place, praise God, that you can seek, where you can get alone and talk with the Master. Praise God. So that's what Jesus, that's what he did. And when he got to the Mount of Olives, he told his disciples, he said, now I want y'all to start praying. Amen. And he said, now I can't pray around y'all because y'all might be saying the wrong thing. Y'all might be praying a little bit too loud. Praise God. And he got alone where he could really talk to the Father. Jesus did not simply go through the motion of prayer. He wrestled with prayer. He agonized, praise God, in prayer. He agonized in prayer because he was facing the hour of his test, the hour of his arrest, and he was facing the completion of his purpose. He was looking into the very cup, praise God, that he had to carry out for his Father's will. I'm hoping y'all seeing what I'm trying to tell you. You see, in his hand, praise God, was the figurative, what we call the third cup. It was the cup of the Passover, the one that represented the shed blood of the Lamb. And Jesus wrestled with his greatest temptation because before him there were only two possibilities. Y'all know what the possibilities were? Praise God. One possibility was to find another way. In other words, he could have let the cup pass. He could have done that. He could have let the cup pass. The only other possibility that he had, and I thank God that he took number two. Praise God, that he could have done is what? Take the cup. Drink all of it. And with it, take all that was prepared for him. And praise God, because his desire was to do the Father's will. Praise God. But he still, praise God, was in a powerful struggle. I'm talking about one that cannot even be described by your human mind. Oh yeah, you see, 1 Corinthians lets us know that we will never be tempted beyond what we can bear under God's power. Praise God, we can be brought right to the limits of our level of temptation. But Jesus, my brothers and my sisters, Jesus was stretched to the greatest limits with this temptation because it meant so much to obey his Father's will and drink this cup, it meant seven things. It meant suffering. It meant agony. It meant rejection. It meant hatred. It meant pain. It meant separation from the Father. And of course, it meant death. To disobey or to pass the cup meant a failed plan. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you ought to be glad it wasn't a failed plan. It meant, praise God, a cup that could not be taken by anyone else because God had already said, praise God, John had already penned at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, praise God, and whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Not only that, it meant a people still lost in their sins without redemption. So in my mind, I could see his struggle in this fervent prayer. And as I said earlier, I'm glad to hear him say at the B clause in verse 42, he said, if it will possible, let this cup pass from me. I like that word, nevertheless. Turn to your neighbor, he said, tell him, say, nevertheless. What he meant by nevertheless, in other words, nevertheless, in spite of the suffering, in spite of the agony, in spite of the rejection, in spite of the pain, the hatred, the separation from the Father, and in spite of death, not my will, but thine will be done. You see, he made the right decision. And God sent an angel to strengthen Jesus. And because of the agony, praise God, the Bible says he prayed more fervently until his sweat was as drops of blood falling to the ground. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, that was some agony. That was some serious praying. Praise God. And sometimes, praise God, we will face temptations and trials that will cause us to have to lay prostrate before our Lord in fervent and sincere prayer. And while there, we will receive the strength needed to make the right decision. So in order to handle his temptation, his greatest temptation, first of all, Jesus found him a place where he could pray. And then after he found a place where he could pray, he got down on his knees. And the Bible says that he prayed a fervent prayer, which meant that he was sincere about his prayer. He was serious about that prayer because he knew how serious the task that he had at hand. But finally, and as I get ready to close, we see that he faced the greatest temptation. He sought, praise God, a place where he could pray to his Father. Secondly, praise God, he was serious and sincere in his prayer. Praise God, but finally, we see Jesus stand strong after praying. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you may labor in prayer, but after it's all over, you'll be able to stand strong. The reason why I had to say that we can, when we get into some serious problems, when we face some of those serious trials, we can't just pray one of those short prayers. We're going to have to pray one of those prayers. Praise God, like, it's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, not my sister, nor my brother, but it's me, my God, standing in the need of prayer. And when we look at verse 43, it said that after he had prayed, where the sweat was almost like blood dropping from his body, he said, there appeared an angel unto him. And the angel came from heaven and strengthened him. And then when we look at verse 45 and 46, and it says he arose from prayer and was come to his disciples. Oh, I like this part. And he found them sleeping for sorrow. I said that he stood up and he was strong. You see, and verse 46 says, and he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. What he was trying to tell them, the temptation is coming. But what I want you to do is, I don't want you to yield to temptation. You see, these verses show that Jesus got up. And when he got up, he was resolved, praise God, to accomplish the task that was before him. What did he do? He fixed his eyes on Calvary. The Hebrew writer gives us some insight as to what Jesus faced and what happened as he stood to take on the challenge of the cross. I want you to put Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 through 9 on the marquee. It says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he was son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them, praise God, all that obey him. You see, he struggled, he prayed, he cried, praise God, he shed drops of blood as he prayed. But still Jesus took the cup of the Passover and he drank every drop of it. He learned to obey in the garden, and because of our salvation, praise God, he provided the source of eternal life for all of us. Praise God, somebody may be sitting out there and ask me, how do I know? How do I know he drank the full cup? How did I know he drank every drop? Because one Friday evening, praise God, after they had whipped him all night long, they led him up a hill called Calvary. Praise God, nailed nails in his hands.